and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we talk about youth ministry. Oh, I remember youth group. This was during the heyday of youth group. This was in the 70s. This was when youth group was really in its swing. There were youth group magazines. There was music all geared toward America's Christian youth. There were activities. I remember a lot of basketball. I remember a lot of pizza. I remember a lot of sitting around in circles. I remember a lot of Bible study that didn't spend a lot of time talking about the Bible. Spent more time talking about what we thought about the Bible or our experiences. What is youth ministry? We're going to talk about it tonight on Issues Etc. Our guest, Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We also have an in-studio email address. You can use that to post questions or comments as well for the next 2 hours. IssuesETC@KFUO.org. IssuesETC@KFUO.org. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is a regular guest here on the program. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He is director of publications for a youth organization called Higher Things, and he's executive editor of Higher Things magazine. Todd, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Great to be here.
What do you think is the biggest myth about youth ministry today?
The biggest myth about youth ministry in America today is that only big, successful churches can do it. We've basically bought into the idea that the only churches that really have anything to offer are big churches with lots of money, with fancy programs, with snazzy, hip youth pastors or youth directors. And we've largely forgotten that the church is about delivering Jesus.
So, in other words, the biggest myth about youth ministry today, in many ways, is tied into one of the biggest myths about the life of the church today, that you have to have a lot of people, a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of parking spaces, and a lot of busyness to do it right.
Yep, that's exactly right. We kind of live in a world that's made up of the more stuff you have, the better, just like the more choices you have, the better, in a land defined by iPods and TiVo and fast food with 27,000 options. We basically are immersed in a culture, in a world that believes that as long as I have the most number of options, then I'm going to be able to find something for everyone. And youth ministry has kind of fallen into that basic world of thinking, well, we've got to offer one little niche and we've got to basically emulate or copy what the culture is going to be doing. So it's got to be big. It's got to be snazzy. We've got to outdo every social event that young people have to compete with in their own lives. And because we're going to try and do that better, somehow we think that's giving them the gospel.
All right, let's talk about that for a second. You've said that twice already. We talk nowadays about youth ministry as though it were a specialization, but it sounds to me like ministry to youth is really the same thing in many ways as ministry to anyone of any age.
That's exactly right. As a parish pastor on any given Sunday, I look out at my congregation with 150 people or so in church, and I see children from 6 weeks old to 95 years old and everything in between. And I'm always faced with this challenge of, well, what can I give that's going to really fit that 90-year-old or that 2-year-old or that 15-year-old sitting in the pew? And the answer, of course, is that as long as I'm trying to come up with some sort of special niche or special hook that's going to get each one of those people, what I'm going to do is eliminate everybody else. But what the gospel talks about, what the scriptures talk about, is how Jesus delivers us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And that's true whether you're talking about a 15-year-old or a 50-year-old or anything in between. But that really is a very different way of looking at the church. The church today is kind of competing against a lot of market research, a lot of things going on in our culture that would suggest that the only way that you can really serve your market, quote unquote, is by hyper specialization. And youth ministry in some ways was kind of ahead of the curve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We were sort of ahead of the game with that a little bit by thinking of this as a very separate thing. But now, maybe a generation or two generations later, I think that there are a lot of people that are beginning to question whether we're actually helping our young people by sort of putting them off into a spiritual ghetto.
Okay, so in the name of ministering to our young people, especially our teenagers, a lot of assumptions have been made. One of them is that either teenagers hate theology, doctrine, the clear teachings of Scripture, and are bored by it, or that they can't handle theology. Is either of those things true, Todd?
Well, the answer is yes and no. Just like it's going to be true for any age group. Are there some young people that hate theology and can't stand it? Of course there are. Just like there are adults that think that way, just like there are 5-year-olds that think that way. And in the same way, are there young people that think that theology, talking about doctrine, talking about the Bible and who Jesus is either over their heads or boring? Well, sure, I'm quite confident that there are. But the real issue is, do we in the church shape what we do based purely on the reactions of a given group, or do we follow what the Scriptures say our quote-unquote job is as the church, and then allow the Holy Spirit to do His work? I think that's a very different way of looking at that question, because it's a very different way of looking at the church.
Well, I remember the youth group of my teenage years, and there were a lot of Bible studies that were topical, most of them centered around, in some form or another, temptations toward sexual immorality or drug and alcohol abuse, or the thing that always goes with those two, and that is peer pressure.
Right.
And the Bible itself was more used as kind of a book of moralisms on, you know, little guidelines on how to deal with those particular situations. It seemed to be just about everything teenagers, or at least the adults who wrote the Bible studies, thought teenagers really cared about.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of sex, drugs, and rock and roll with a little bit of peer pressure tossed in, or sort of those are the catch phrases or the catch topics that adults will often think that young people care about. And certainly, all of those are good topics that need to be covered. But the real challenge underlying that whole approach is thinking that it's those issues that really are what shape the Christian. Is my life as a Christian shaped by the do's and the don'ts? Is my life as a Christian shaped finally by the law? Because that's what all of those things are. Those are all issues that in one way or another are going to come down to, okay, here's the problem. Let's talk about what the problem is, promiscuous sex or homosexuality, or let's talk about peer pressure and the difficulties of compromising. You can pick almost any one of those topics and then kind of do a little bit of analysis of what the topic is, and then the answer is going to be very simple. Don't. Well, while that's true as far as it goes, that's not delivering Jesus in the forgiveness of sins. So the question is, how do we as Christians get beyond simply looking at the Bible as kind of a rule book, as a series of kind of a 12-step program for being a successful youth, and actually using the Bible as God intends it, that is to reveal who He is and how much He loves us in His Son, Jesus Christ.
All right, in that connection, when we come back from this break, I would like our guest, Pastor Todd Peppercorn's reaction to what I think many people believed. This little thing that I think of late, many people believed was the greatest boon to youth ministry to come along in 30 years. It was a little bracelet with four letters on it, WWJD. And these were sold to kids, sold for kids, our youth. It became the basis in many ways of many youth groups. The baseball caps, the T-shirts, the bracelets, all about what Jesus would do. Is that the approach to the Bible and to Jesus Christ that youth ministry ought to take? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break and some more myths about youth ministry with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Dr. Arthur Just on the Good Shepherd Institute, November 6th through the 8th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We are dedicated to hearing and discerning the clear voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, through our attention to the preaching, the historic liturgies, the catechesis, and the hymns of the church that communicate Christ. We hold a yearly conference during All Saints weekend, in which we explore these things. We're particularly interested in serving congregations and parishes, parish pastors, musicians, and other church workers, and also helping the laity to come to love and appreciate the treasures of our Lutheran faith and our Lutheran liturgy and our Lutheran life.
For more information on the Good Shepherd Institute, November 6th through the 8th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Reformation Sunday of this year marks the 10th anniversary of the weekly syndicated edition of Issues Etc. We debuted with 5 affiliates. We currently have almost 100 affiliates, listeners on digital satellite radio, and a worldwide listening audience on the Internet. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening and for your prayers and financial support. We're especially thankful for a small, loyal group of monthly supporters, our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. To find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us reach our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by Reformation Sunday, October the 30th. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. If you are at all interested in issues like abortion, stem cell research, assisted suicide, you want to make sure to attend the premier bioethics conference of 2005. It's the Image of God Bioethics Conference, Friday, November the 11th, right here in St. Louis. The keynote speakers at this conference are Wesley Smith, Nigel Cameron, and Gil Mylander. For more information, look for the Image of God logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's Friday, November the 11th, here in St. Louis, the Image of God Bioethics Conference. We're talking about youth ministry. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. He's an executive director of Higher Things magazine and also director of publications for this youth organization called Higher Things. Todd, we were talking about this before the break, and you were talking about how we need to lead these youth to Jesus. The Bible needs to be used as the cradle that holds Christ so they find Christ therein. Someone's going to say, look, if you take these youth, inclined with all the temptations in their lives nowadays, television, the media, they go to school, it's all over there. They need more rules. And if you leave them with Jesus and it is finished, you're giving them a license to sin. You're going to have kids fornicating, going out and getting drunk, and doing everything that kids are wont to do these days, if you leave them with Jesus.
That, of course, is the attack that's often made against real Christianity, frankly, that it's too easy. How can it possibly be that the point of the Christian faith is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself? How can it be that that's really what God wants? God's whole existence, his purpose, is to bring us into communion with him. But so many of us, we just cannot handle the thought that this is what God wants. God longs to forgive our sins, to draw us into his presence, to bring us to heaven. There's got to be something more. And our sinful natures basically want to make it so that it's finally about the rules, it's about the laws. I think a part of that fear, at least a little bit of it, is probably a generational thing. Each generation looks at the generation that follows them and believes that they are worse off than their generation, that the sins that the youth of today commit are worse sins than the youth of the 1970s or the 1950s or the 1920s or whatever it might be. And so there's a little bit of that generational thing, but really underlying that is this basic question of, is the Christian faith about who God is and what God comes to give to us, or is the Christian faith basically behavior modification, kind of a, I don't know, kind of a mind control game? For many people, and certainly for our culture, Christianity is behavior modification. It's 12 steps to a successful marriage. It's 10 steps to have a happy life. It's this sort of thing. And so when we hold up that the gospel is the point, whether you're talking about 15-year-olds or 50-year-olds, we're going to inevitably come across as being these kind of wild people that approve of sin. Certainly that's not the point. The point is not that sin is somehow approved or tolerated or allowed, but rather that God forgives sins. And so those two points of law and gospel, God shows me my sins and then forgives me for Christ's sake, those two have to go together. There's a tension, but there's a balance. And when that balance is lost, then the whole purpose of the church goes out the window.
What was a couple of years ago, Todd, that this little bracelet became so very popular, and then it spun off into all sorts of merchandising aimed primarily at youth, and it was supposed to be this kind of message that the kids could really understand, real practical message for kids in their everyday Christian walk. What would Jesus do? What did you make of it? What do you make of it?
Well, that phrase, what would Jesus do, I'm sure that the marketing person that came up with it was quite brilliant and was certain that they had come up with something new and great. It, of course, came from a book from, I think, the 1890s by a man named Charles Sheldon. It was entitled In His Steps. And in this book, the idea was put forward that what would happen to this little, I think it was a Midwestern town, if everybody in the town asked the question, what would Jesus do? And lo and behold, the town, everybody loved each other. It's like playing a country music song backwards. The dog came back, you know, everybody's marriages go back together and the world is perfect and happy, which is great for some cute little fiction book, but anyone who is alive, first of all, knows that that's simply not true. So now let's think about that in the context of this bracelet. What would Jesus do? The Lutheran is going to ask, is that a law question or a gospel question? Is that a question that's trying to show me my sin, show me my faults, or is this a question that's going to forgive me? Is God giving me something, or am I trying to give something to God? Well, what would Jesus do does is it tries to turn Jesus into a new Moses, into a new lawgiver. So every time I wear this bracelet, I look at it, and I'm going to ask, what would Jesus do? And the assumption being, of course, that if I know what Jesus does, then I'm going to do it. I believe that there was an apostle named St. Paul that had a couple words to say about that, where he said, the good that I would, I do not, and that which I hate to do, that I do. Our very nature says that even if I know perfectly what the right thing to do is, I can't do it because I am a sinner from birth. I cannot make things right, and no amount of knowledge is going to fit that.
With only a minute here before our next break, Todd, it is often said now that youth ministry needs to really kind of be woven in with and around today's pop culture because these kids are culture savvy, and especially with regard to worship, these young adults simply cannot stand so-called traditional worship. 1 minute.
Well, that first of all, that's just simply not true. They are going. There are some that can't stand it, and there's some that can stand it. But the greater question is, if we present worship to young people as something that we're apologetic for, that, well, I'm sorry you have to sing these old 17th century dirges, and I know that they stink, but, you know, they're the best we've got. I hope you come back again. If we present the riches and treasures of Christ Church to young people in that mindset, of course they're going to hate it. But if we present it to them as, This is it. This is heaven on earth. This is the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation coming to me right here, right now. I would suggest that presents a whole different picture. Young people today are going to respond to being authentic, to being real, to being honest, and to being truthful, especially when it comes to matters of conviction. Even if they may not understand everything perfectly, there is something that is powerful about hearing the gospel and recognizing what's really going on in worship. It's like you unlock the door and a whole world is before you.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. We're talking about youth ministry. He is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, director of publications for a youth organization called Higher Things, executive director of Higher Things magazine. For more information on this great youth organization, visit the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. It's called Higher Things, and you'll find more information there on Higher Things magazine as well. And a youth conference hosted by Higher Things next summer in Colorado Springs called The Feast. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Now, we'll respond to your questions and your comments, or if you've got personal experiences with youth ministry, right after this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back from this break as well, is it true that the youth leader, the youth pastor, whatever you call him, needs to be hip, cool, and youthful himself? We'll be right back. How would you like to meet Issues Etc. regular guests Wesley Smith, Beverly Yonke, Gene Edward Veith, James Lamb, Bob Weiss, David Menton, and Nathan Jastrom all in one day? Well, they'll be speaking at the Image of God Bioethics Conference Friday, November the 11th at the Sheraton Westport Lakeside Chalet in St. Louis. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and join us as we broadcast live from the Image of God Bioethics Conference November the 11th in St. Louis.
I'm Matthew Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, the Mercy Arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." In the Gulf Coast and around the globe, we bring Christ's touch of mercy to people in need. Learn more on the web at worldrelief.lcms.org. And to donate, call 1-888-930-4438.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Maggie Carner, Executive Director of LCMS Life Ministries, about the upcoming Image of God Bioethics Conference here in St. Louis, November the 11th. Maggie, is bioethics a subject for ethicists and scientists only?
First of all, the term bioethics sounds sort of scary to the average person, and people feel sort of intimidated by that. But what we're talking about here, the actual noun bioethics, means where we're dealing with the implications of what's going on in medicine and science and scientific research and how that applies to the average person. And everyone needs to have be aware of what's going on culturally in this field today, especially clergy and scientists, of course, and medical professionals, and even right down to the folks sitting in our pews on Sundays.
So why the title Image of God Bioethics Conference?
We chose that title specifically because as Christians, we have always had a good understanding of what it means to be children of God, created for a special purpose and a special reason. And God has given us his image, and it talks about that clear back in Genesis. And so we've, today, that idea, traditionally our culture has always dealt with science and medicine with that idea in the back of their mind, that framework for understanding that the human, the Homo sapiens, are designed by God for a special purpose. And today that is getting muddied in the discussion, that concept and that understanding.
Finally, Maggie, tell us a little bit about some of the speakers that will be featured at the Image of God Bioethics Conference in November.
We've got some great speakers that are going to be there. We've got Gilbert Mailander, who is on President Bush's Bioethics Council in Washington, D.C. He also serves as a professor at Valparaiso. We've got Nigel Cameron, who he's testified before the United Nations about cloning. We've got Wesley Smith, who is a prolific author and lawyer who specializes in end-of-life issues, and he's been a frequent guest on Nightline and Good Morning America and some of the other, you know, popular shows on television. And all three of these keynote speakers are really dynamic speakers in their field.
For more information about the Image of God Bioethics Conference here in St. Louis, Friday, November the 11th, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the effeminate gospel. Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine will be our guest. Did Jesus come to rescue us from our own loneliness and despair and to help meet our emotional needs? Are many churches today encouraging men in their ranks to behave like women? And has American evangelicalism been emasculated? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Aaron Wolf. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the website, be sure to find out about our monthly donor program. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can find out how to support this worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer. Reformation Club benefits include all sorts of things like monthly tapes and books and transcripts. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses there at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and help us reach our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by Reformation Sunday this year, October the 30th, issuesetc.org. We're talking about youth ministry. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. Well, I go to church websites, Todd, and I love to look at the staff. And the person I always like to look at the most, because I find it uncanny, is the youth minister. And I've noticed a trend. This is purely anecdotal, and I know it's a huge generalization and a bit of a stereotype, but they all end up looking like me. Bald-headed, usually by choice, a goatee, and when they take their picture, they're always wearing a T-shirt, and they look like they're just having a ball. Do youth leaders, ministers, pastors, have to be hip and young and happening for them to do their jobs?
Well, in order to answer that question, of course, we have to understand the question of what their job is. If their job is to try and emulate and copy what is going on in a young person's life, so that the youth pastor is seeking simply to fit in, to try and be one of the guys, so to speak, and a friend to the young people there, then the answer, of course, is yes. Then he does have to fit in. Then there's basically going to be an upper age limit on what a youth pastor can be. A youth pastor can't be older than about 28 unless he looks incredibly young. But the problem with that stereotype, of course, is that it's just that's based on the fact that that is not what youth ministry should be. Youth ministry should not be trying to become a youth. There's nothing more embarrassing for both adults and teenagers than watching an adult trying to act like they're in high school. They look ridiculous. Everybody knows that this is just completely false and untrue. And it really, the tragedy behind it, I think, is that it kind of betrays the fact that that in that mindset, the church doesn't really have anything to say. The church doesn't have anything to offer the young people of our day that's any different, really, than what they're going to be able to get with their friends at high school or what they see on TV or whatever. So I would suggest that what really needs to happen is that the church needs to reassert that we have something to say. In fact, we have something great to say, not just something to say. We have something to offer that they're not going to find anywhere else. And that means that we need to hold that up and cling to it and certainly not pretend to be something that we're not in order to give that out.
Another trend that I've noted, and again, this is just by kind of casual observation, but I think this one is borne out, and that is that youth ministry tends to be oriented around kind of either a yearly or maybe a biannually a big event, a retreat, a big conference, a mountaintop experience, very immersive, very intense, and that is supposed to be the main experience for these youth throughout the year, kind of keep them going when they go back to the mundane life of their ordinary congregation again.
Right. The idea of having a spiritual high. I mean, we've certainly seen that in youth work. We obviously saw that with the Promise Keepers that you saw in the 1990s. The idea, and basically what's behind that is the thought that if I can create an emotional experience that is going to be so defining for a person, that's going to sort of override what else they have. But just like the drug addict that comes off of his high, eventually you need to get another fix, and you need to get another and another and another, so that what you normally have simply doesn't taste good enough. I think that's one of the really great fallacies of what often happens in youth ministry today is because these mountaintop experiences often involve, first of all, so many people, although I don't think that's necessarily the issue, but it involves often a completely different style of music than what they're going to get at their home church. It's going to create this environment that says everything in my church is boring, old, and dumb. And therefore, when I come home, what we've actually done, instead of trying to build them up in the faith, we've actually taught them that what they come home to in their congregations, what they receive week after week from pastors and congregations and musicians and everyone, what they're receiving isn't good enough. It isn't worthy of their attention because it can't reach that spiritual high. So we've actually taught them to hate their own church. And I just can't fathom how that actually is going to serve them for the rest of their life. It doesn't surprise me at all that high school students often leave the church in droves when we've actually taught them that what happens in church isn't really for them.
With 30 seconds here, is youth ministry about keeping the kids busy, keeping them off the streets?
In my experience, the absolute last thing that youth need today is to be kept busy. Between work and social events and sports and everything else, I think high school kids are so busy they hardly know what day of the week it is. What we need to be concerned about is not keeping young people busy, but it's keeping them fed with the gospel.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Got a few free phone lines. Let's talk first with Dale, who listens here in St. Louis on KSIV. Dale, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I just had a comment. Basically, I came out of a youth group scene in the late 80s, early 90s, when it was kind of making a resurgence, and it seemed like we were trying to bring in, you know, as many people as possible. You know, we're going to be hip, we're going to be great. The only problem is now, you know, 10, 15 years later, most of the people that were in that group, 30, 40, 50, 60 kids, sometimes even 120 kids, none of them are to be found. And something that you're talking about, you know, about trying to be culturally trendy or whatever, I was just thinking, you know, the message of the cross is timeless, and it's basically the only message that basically transcends these culture gaps. You know, I'm not saying that these youth pastors ought to be rigid, you know, have fun, but, you know, Christ crucified, resurrected, coming in the flesh is really the only message that we need to change the hearts of these kids. And I'm a firm believer in that now because, you know, I came out of it. I've seen the effects of it. I pray every single day for these big churches and the youth groups, and I just, you know, want God just to come in and just touch these guys, and the only way it's going to do it is the message of the cross.
Dale, thank you very much. Todd, your reaction?
Sure. Dale hit on what I think is an important point. First of all, obviously, the cross is the center of our theology. It's Jesus' death and resurrection. That's what we give. That's what we have to offer. And when anything else takes that place, we're in danger of losing our very purpose. But Dale also pointed out something that I do think is worth our considering, that the church does have to have, to a certain extent, it has to have its finger on the pulse of the culture of the day. I think it would be a mistake for any pastor or congregation to simply ignore or kind of blithely reject, like a, you know, almost in an Amish sort of way, what's happening in the world around us. As a pastor, I should always be interested in what's going on in the lives of my people. That doesn't mean that I have to become every single person, but I should be aware of what's going on and be always be willing to listen and be sensitive to it, because that's going to help me in proclaiming the cross. So there's a tension there, but ultimately it has to be, this is about the gospel. That's all we have to give, and that's enough.
We're talking about youth ministry tonight with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Our Issues Etc. book of the month is aimed at real youth. I'm talking about the really, really young ones, about 4 to 6, preschoolers, kindergartners. If we don't believe nowadays that our teenagers can be taught theology, we're not going to be trying with the real little ones. But they can learn the truths of the Christian faith, even at their parents' knee. That's what our Issues Etc. book of the month for October is all about. It's a series of children's books titled Follow and Do. It's surrounding the great truths of the Christian faith. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, confession, and the Lord's Supper. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order Follow and Do the series by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The entire six book set, costs $33.99 plus shipping and handling, or you can order each of the books individually for $6.99. 1-800-325-3040. Follow and Do, Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, 1-800-325-3040. All right, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, October the 16th. We've got free phone lines. Our call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, more of your phone calls, your questions, and your comments on youth ministry with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Stay tuned. Christians know that God gave us our children so that we could bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When does that instruction in the Christian faith begin? Well, one Lutheran layman told me, as soon as you bring them home from the hospital. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a series of books on the Christian faith aimed at very small children. This series is called Follow and Do. It covers the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, confession, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about the Follow and Do series, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Each book is $6.99. The entire series of six is $33.99. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, the Follow and Do series for children.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
There's a church body that's attracting converts. It's not heavy on doctrine, focuses on progress in the Christian life, and presents Jesus as an example. Why is Eastern Orthodoxy so appealing to the postmodern mind? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal on the subject of Eastern Orthodoxy. And you can get a free complimentary copy of the Next Issues Etc. journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Plus, Uwe Simonetto, international journalist, has written an article titled Race Relations and Luther's Doctrine of Two Kingdoms. And the Wittenberg Trail feature details how Julie Stiegemeyer went from the false tolerance of modern Methodism to the biblical truths of the Reformation. 1-800-737-0172. If you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. 1-800-737-0172. Luther on Liturgy and Hymns is the theme of this year's Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November the 6th through the 8th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. This annual conference focuses on pastoral theology and sacred music for pastors, for church musicians, and for lay people as well. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just is the co-director of the Good Shepherd Institute Conference. For more information, call toll-free 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Back to the phones, calling from Milwaukee, listening on WRRD. Josh, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello. I also have had some experience in youth ministry, and it's always been a bit of a mixed bag. Everything from you'd have very good sessions to sessions where all you do is talk about, you know, sports and the like. But my big concern about youth ministry is how there doesn't seem to be a very good transition point between, let's say, youth to adult ministry. I think of my own experiences and how we just had very little interaction with the adult members of the congregation, and as a 20-something person myself, I look at and see that I just ask, where have all these people gone who were in youth group? And I'm just wondering, what's your opinion as far as the transition between youth and adult ministry, and how can we integrate it better so that we feel like we're part of a whole congregation?
Josh, it's a perennial question. It is really the question when it comes to youth ministry. What do you say, Todd?
Well, first off, the issue at hand is why were they there in high school when in these youth groups? What was the drawing point that got them there at that time? And then why are they not there in college and beyond? I think you're absolutely right, Josh, that the church has done a very poor job in that transition from high school to college age and beyond. There are a lot of reasons for that. One of the chief ones is that if we think of a youth group as primarily a social group that is there to have to get together, to have fun, to eat pizza, play games, whatever, moving from high school into adulthood makes it so that you don't really need that social group anymore, at least not in the same way. So it shouldn't surprise us that many of these people leave because they were kind of gathered under the wrong pretext. Obviously, a key part of that is we want to gather them in high school earlier and later around the gospel, around receiving Christ in His Word and sacraments, so that when they move from high school to college and adulthood and beyond, they recognize, you know, the same thing that brought me to the altar when I was confirmed, when I was in high school, is the same thing that's going to sustain me when I'm in college and when I'm an adult. It's not a different gospel, and it's not even finally about the social groups that I'm around, because it's that idea that the church is simply a social club that really, I think, fights against this very problem.
Listening on KFAX in San Francisco, Claire, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Claire. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to know what to look for or expect from a good youth pastor.
Oh, that's a great question. Todd?
What to look for and expect from a great youth pastor. First of all, you should expect someone that is going to be about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, that isn't going to try and pretend to be something that they're not, that's going to be authentic, that's going to say, I'm a pastor, I have something to give, and I'm going to give it, whether I'm talking to a 15-year-old or a 50-year-old. I think very often youth pastors, and I'm not even sure, frankly, if I agree with the idea of subdividing pastors according to age groups. That's probably worth exploring a little, too. But let's say that that this youth pastor really should love delivering the forgiveness of sins. That's what should make them tick. And if that's what makes them tick, they will figure out how to do it regardless of what the age group is.
Tim calls from Moberly, Missouri, and he's listening on KLTE. Tim, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Very well.
I myself am a youth minister from a Christian church, and I love youth, and I'm just kind of, I love listening to your show. I love it. You guys talk about all kinds of stuff. But I am slightly offended by the topic tonight because it seems like you're kind of just bashing youth ministry. You know, nothing is new under the sun, but it seems like as far as vocationally, youth ministry has only been around maybe since the 70s. And it just seems like you're just wanting to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Sure, there's a lot of problems with youth ministry, but I think there's a lot of amazing graceful things that are going on in youth ministry.
So we have enough time for Todd to respond here. First of all, two things. Is it your intent, by pointing out the myths of youth ministry, Todd, to trash youth ministry as a whole? And then second of all, respond to this idea that you mentioned before that, you know, there maybe we're on the wrong track by talking about a specialized ministry to a specialized group, this kind of segregation of the Christian church.
Okay, well, number one, I kind of dedicated a better part of my life to serving youth, so if I were trashing youth ministry, I'd sort of be trashing myself. I don't think I'm going to do that. I love high school students more than just about any other age group. They're awesome. They ask great questions. Oftentimes, they're fantastic theologians, better. They don't have as many inhibitions as adults do. They're not as worried about whether the question is going to get them in trouble or they're going to be afraid. It's a blast. I absolutely love it. And our caller Tim is completely right too, that there is a lot of good things that are going on, and I think that there is an increased interest on the part of Christian churches in wanting to offer something substantive to youth, so that youth ministry is not simply about pizza and lock-ins and a basketball game. But I do think that it is our responsibility to constantly hold up that it's about the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. That needs to be our mantra again and again and again, and that we can't speak of Jesus delivering the goods too often because it's not done. The second one was specialization.
You have about a minute here.
Okay. This is another topic that really is a fairly new one in the church. The idea that one pastor is going to minister or serve to specific age groups or kind of generational groups in the church. Certainly, the Christian congregation can have more or less pastors, and they can even ask these pastors to sort of put their focus in one area or another. But it is a great danger on the part of the church to create what I think is a ghetto environment. Our unity comes around the gospel. Our unity is in the altar at the Lord's Supper. It's not in what age group I'm in, and I would hate to see how we structure the ministry to actually be creating this idea that there are different groups that somehow matter.
Folks, we'll continue to respond to your phone calls, your email on youth ministry in the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our email address is issues, etc, at KFUO.org. You won't be able to listen to the next hour's conversation on the radio. It is only on the Internet, but you can listen on the Internet by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen Online. You'll hear the entire next hour and be able to participate as well. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's October the 16th. Write this number down. Give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. We're also going to give away a copy of Higher Things magazine and one or two subscriptions to this youth magazine to listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour. I can tell you in advance, folks, it's a magazine, a youth magazine, unlike any youth magazine you have ever read, Higher Things magazine. Issues ETC at KFUO.org is our in-studio email address and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Well, I remember, I started with my memories of youth group, I remember eventually just beginning fed up with it. So at 16 years old, I stopped going to youth group. I didn't stay home. You know where I went? Adult Bible class. While the kids were eating pizza and sitting in their circles and talking about how they felt about the Bible, I went to adult Bible class. Why? What did I need? What was I looking for? Well, I was looking for what was sadly missing in my experience with youth group, and perhaps sadly missing from any youth's experience in youth group. I was looking for Scripture's clear message of my sin and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I was looking for Jesus Christ in Scripture. Not myself, not my feelings, not how to respond to peer pressure, not how to stay off drugs, not how to stay out of sexual immorality. All those things were there. I needed Jesus. So do our youth. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.